Hello and welcome back to episode number 17 of the Canadian Bowler Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Lucas Caldwell, and I'm with the wonderful Daryl Fitzgerald. Daryl, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, Luke. My birthday's coming up, so I'm feeling older.
How old are you this year? 65? Ready to retire?
I'm getting into my bowling prime. I'm 39 going on 40, so I'm hitting those years.
Yep, you're getting ready to win a couple of championships coming up here for sure.
Absolutely, yep.
Alrighty, well, I guess we'll say the regular stuff, Daryl. Everybody out there, thanks again for always tuning in and watching. I know we're at a different time tonight, just some difficulties being able to be here at a certain time, so we're here now. As always, remember to like, follow, subscribe, hit that little notification bell on the bottom somewhere, just so you know every time we go live, and it gives you all the notifications for all the videos posted anytime we go live, like I just said. And yeah, thanks a lot. I guess moving along now, I guess we'll introduce our guest. For me and Daryl, this is a pretty highly anticipated guest. We've been trying to get him on here for a little while now. A lot of you people may know him, and he has, like Daryl said in the post, he's done it here and he's done it there. Welcome to the show, Chris Statnick.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, Chris. How are you?
Not too bad. Broadcasting live from Heritage Bulls Club right now.
You can see that.
It's a good spot. The home of WOBA.
It's getting dark now, so it's quite a view from behind.
It is. Yes, the great view of Heritage.
Well, all right, Chris, I'll start this off with a softball, something I like to ask everybody on the show. And who is Chris today? Just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, you know what? Just regular old Chris. Usually quiet Chris, but enjoying my time in Kitchener here. Definitely enjoying my time at the Heritage Lawn Bowls Club and getting to know a lot of new people in the city. And it's just been a great time so far here.
So Chris, speaking about becoming the president, I've kind of put it in the description, but you've done a little bit of everything in bowls. You've played club championships, provincial championships and won them. Canadian championships and won them. You've gone internationally and won medals. You've gone internationally a lot, actually, and done fantastic things. What's it like now being the president of a club and I'll say a really good club like Heritage Greens?
You know, to be honest, Daryl and Luke, it's quite amazing actually to be a president of a club that is such forward-thinking, like Heritage. Coming in here, you didn't want to step on anybody's toes. You didn't want to do anything, but I have such great respect for Billy Boettger and how he started this club up here in Kitchener. So I've always wanted to, when I moved here, always wanted to do what I could to try to bring this club even further. And getting to know everybody at this club, it's absolutely wonderful to be here. The members and the people in the city representatives and everything have just been amazing. And I can't be happier, not even to be just a member of this club, but to be their president. It's simply awesome.
And I've just got to ask Chris, correct me if I'm wrong, but you were a member of the Niagara Falls Lawn Bowling Club for an extended period of time. What was it like making a shift from Niagara Falls to Kitchener?
Just getting to know everybody a little bit. Being in Niagara Falls, when my brother and I were part of that club as well, growing up there, they did a lot of great things, and it's a great club. And a lot of the things that we did there and tried to do in Niagara Falls, we're able to do that much more, or I'm able to do that much more here in Kitchener because we have two greens. We have a bigger facility. So taking out everything we learned in Niagara Falls and taking the they have a great social aspect in Niagara Falls. and taking all those things and trying to move them to heritage. It's been amazing, to be honest with you. It's a good transition.
Speaking about that, I'll talk about last year with Heritage, and I guess the years before. Heritage seems to be taking on a lot more big events, like WOBA. They did the Open Singles Canadians, and I know they were even looking at NEC when it was open. Why is it that Heritage wants to take on a lot of these big events when I feel that there's a lot of clubs and even provinces that just don't want it?
You know, Darrell, it's a great question. I think that the members of Heritage and the executive of Heritage are really proud of this club. I think we're proud of what the club has to offer. I think we're proud to open up our doors to outside people. And I think it's a great opportunity for the members of this club to showcase just how great it is here and how far we're willing to take the game to kind of bring that game to the next level around here.
Just touching on that a little bit, Chris, I've been lucky enough to go to Heritage in years past, right up until last year. What are some of the things that you have been able to do as a president that have really been able to take Heritage to that next level? And what are some things that you could suggest to maybe the more struggling club for things they could do to try and like boost up whatever they have going on?
Honestly, to be honest with you, I think if a club has the opportunity to look into getting a liquor license to kind of bring a more social aspect to the club, I think it's a huge, huge advantage for a club to have that. Not only does it make a little bit of money, but I think it brings a lot. Instead of just a bowling club, it brings a little bit of social atmosphere to the club where the club can host some special nights or some card nights or something that kind of brings the club together, increases the sociable part of the club, which I think the clubs really need that to survive. You see that a lot in clubs in Australia, New Zealand, Scotland, where they have the bar and the stuff like that, and people go there to sit there with their friends and enjoy.
So for Heritage, having that liquor license and having a lot of these big events, have you seen an upturn? Has it just been sort of status quo for Heritage, or what has the last couple of years? We'll take this year out of consideration for obvious reasons, but what's it been like there with all these changes?
I think it's been really good, Darrell. We've seen an increase year after year for people that are using and enjoying the bar. You know, hosting events like WOBA, the Ladies 3-Day, the Canadians, having that ability to host those events and have a liquor license readily available, it's a huge advantage for a club. And I think it's one of the biggest successes that we've had in the last 3 years or so here.
I guess speaking about liquor licenses and just like big events that you guys have taken on in the past, in the last couple of shows, Darrell and I have talked about what we think Bulls Clubs need to do going forward. Do you see some sort of like how am I trying to say this? Like some sort of business aspect having to come in, like where you're running the club like a business and having like a manager. Do you see that being something that's going to be essential down the road for clubs to survive?
Absolutely. I've always talked, my brother and I, we've always joked around, you know, it'd be cool to get hired as a position where you can just manage all the clubs like across the board or in a whole region where you can bring different ideas to different clubs and open it up. I know the people in Woodstock reached out to the other day, just for some advice or some information on their liquor license, and same as Windsor, stuff like that. So I think it'd be awesome that if, you know, we had that network of information where clubs can use that to help build their base.
Moving from the club to you specifically, you've competed for a very, very long time. We've had your brother Ryan on the After Dark show. He's now on the High Performance Committee as the chairperson, so both of you have pretty great titles as far as Bulls goes. What has your family meant to you as far as bowling goes, and I guess for your whole life being a bowler?
It's my brother's birthday today. So yeah,
happy birthday, Ryan.
Send a birthday cheer out to my brother. Yeah, that's a great question, Daryl. But it's been amazing, you know, to be honest with you. Looking back over the years and talking about like my grandpa and being around the club with my mom, my dad, my brother. It's been quite amazing. You know, I don't know how to explain another way. It's just amazing. And being able to travel the world to some spots with my brother has been fantastic. But, you know, there's a few families in bowls I can think of that are probably the same way. And I think it's just it's just a great feeling to be able to share that with your full family.
Speaking about your playing career, Chris, just a quick question from the chat. John Seidman says, as a player, how special was it for you to play in the Commonwealth Games with your brother back in 2018?
It's one of the highlights, definitely, of my international career. it was pretty special because I never got to play with Ryan internationally until that time, except at some stuff like the North American Challenge and stuff like that. So being able to step onto the green with him in Australia was something I'll never forget. And you know, it was the last game before the international career was over. So being able to step off the green with him after that game was done, it's quite special.
Now, I'm sure a lot of bowlers in Ontario know the name Stadnik, and I'm sure a lot of bowlers in Canada know the name Stadnik just from seeing you guys achieve so much. Out of all the stuff that you've done, what's one of the top memories that sticks out to you as far as your playing career?
There's probably a couple, Daryl, that are right up there. But obviously winning a bronze medal at the World Bowls in 2008 probably ranks right up there, and getting to see your flag go up on the podium at a World Bowls was quite special to me, something I'll never forget. and then in a different type of thing was being able to walk into the opening ceremonies four times at the Commonwealth Games. It's something you never forget, that's for sure.
Yeah, Chris, it sounds like you've had pretty incredible international experiences. What would you say to the young guy or girl coming up in bowls in Canada, trying to kind of crack that national team spot? What is some advice that you would maybe give to them?
They can never stop giving up. They have to put the hours in. I think, you know, getting all the training and all the hours in and just never giving up. This one of the best things about this sport is I don't think it's ever too late to do something. So I think that, you know, all the young people, as they get older and they get more mature, just to keep going with it and keep training, keep doing the drills, and you gotta trust the training exercises and trust the program. And I think if people do that, then you know, the sky's the limit for them, actually.
I think that's an excellent point for everybody out there. This sport is not an age thing, where in other sports, when you hit, you know, your late 20s, early 30s, a lot of people are contemplating what their next move is going to be and whether it's retirement. And in bowls, you don't really hear a lot of people saying, I've officially retired from sport, at least in Canada. A lot of them are still competing. A lot of them are still doing, you know, national events and trying to get international and win those big competitions. So I think that's an incredible point for anybody watching. I wanted to ask you something again about, I guess it's related to what you want to see and also possibly even heritage. We know what's happened this year with everything closing down, things shutting down. How have you coped with the shutdown, and how have you seen Heritage as a club, kind of as a subsection of Ontario, handle this event and what they're doing now?
Yeah, obviously, Daryl, none of us had the training to take care of a pandemic. None of us had the training to see what's next. Now what do we do? But everybody at Heritage, I think we've done so well. I think we've done an amazing job trying to progress forward in the boundaries that we were given. And I know along time ago, back in like March and May and April and all those months, working along with Don Caswell from Windsor on a lot of the protocols and stuff that we're going to have to do to open up. And, you know, he had a lot of great ideas and I had a lot of great ideas. My brother had a lot of great ideas. And so when we got talking about that, you know, we used all that, and when I brought it back to Heritage and stuff like that, one of my main things to the executive was, and it's still to this day, like I sent an email out today, that safety was most important thing, above anything else. Safety was always the most important thing that I tried to do. And if I felt that if we kept everybody safe and we've followed the rules, that good things would come along the way, and it has. So we did a lot of work to get Heritage to where we are now. But I'm confident to say, like, confident knowing that I think everything we've done has kept everybody safe, and I think that we're in a position now where I think we're going to survive the year, and everybody was safe, everybody was good, and I think we made the most of it, to be honest with you.
We've asked quite a few of our guests in the last couple of months here, Chris. Where do you see this whole pandemic going within the sport of bowls? Like, do you see us getting back on the greens next spring like normal, or do you think we're going to be a little bit different?
You know, that's a great question. I don't, you know, with the pandemic and stuff like that. I mean, I think we've seen just in the media and stuff like that, that things change every day. So you never know. I would like to hope that next year we kind of have a return back to normal, but I don't know. I honestly don't know if that's going to happen or not. I think we have to hope for that, but I think we have to keep in the back of our minds that it might not go back to the way we're used to right away. And I think we just have to see how it goes and leave it to the experts out there that about what we can or cannot do.
What's been the toughest part of this whole, closure due to the pandemic and then trying to open? For you, what's been the toughest part?
I think it's trying to hold everybody back. Like, to be honest with you, we have a very active membership here at Heritage, which is an amazing thing to have. So everybody wanted to play, everybody wanted to do this and everybody wanted to do that. So I think the hardest thing was just trying to hold everybody back and say, no, I think we have to do it this way and we have to remain smart. We have to remain steady on what we do. And I mean, when I say it's a hard thing, I don't think it's a bad thing, because that just shows the enthusiasm and the passion that is in this club. And I think that's an amazing thing to have, but it was a difficult time trying to hold everybody back a little bit.
I can see that. Yeah,
absolutely.
I like to do this little fun thing with all our guests, and I kind of alluded to you just a little earlier, but we like to go through some pictures with our guests. So up here, I've got a picture of you and Jeff Harding winning the pairs. I believe that's Willowdale. Give us a little background about that, and what does that picture mean to you?
That was a crazy year playing with Jeff. We had a good run, and I can remember we lost to Dave and Steve McCarahan in the Ontario Championship, and then we lost to them in the round robin of the Canadian Championships. But then we got them in the end, and we in the final. So we always give them a little bug about that, and standing up there with Steve Bazanson, who's always been a great friend of mine, and Ogden, who I've played with, well, both of those gentlemen internationally. Actually, everybody on the podium there played with on Team Canada. So it was a kind of a special time and special picture to have, when everybody that up there was such great friends, but at the same time, very fierce competitors.
Nice. A picture of you, Cam, and Greg, two guys we've also had on this show. What does that mean to you?
The young boys. obviously a lot special. They were both with us, with my brother, for my last game there with Team Canada in Commonwealth Games, and getting as far as we did. So that was the best result that I've had at a Commonwealth Games, which was fourth place, and playing in the bronze medal match. Playing with those two guys is pretty special, and it was a pretty fun time, except when you get hit by Cam's drive. So. gotta look out for those.
Sorry about that, everybody. A little technical difficulty. I think we're back in action. So, Chris, I just wanted to ask you about this picture here of you, Haren, and Keith Rooney. What did that picture mean to you?
that's a picture there that it's always quite close to my heart. Getting onto the podium at World Bowls was obviously quite special. and we had Horan making the miracle shot against England in the quarterfinals, which gave us that opportunity to be up there, which was amazing. But also to be standing up there with my good friend Keith Roney, another Team Canada legend, was pretty special for me.
And it's a little fuzzy, but I believe this is from a little while back of you and Ryan. What's this picture all about?
We saw that picture earlier. I think you brought it up, or I think it was my mom who put that up on Facebook, and that could have been out in Coburg or one of those places playing with my brother. Wow. I don't know what I can say about his shoes that he's wearing in there.
Hey, those are incredible.
Hey, you had the white pants, the belts, and the shoes going on. So
we had it all. No, that's you look at that picture and it's like, well, that's where it all started. And you know, so it's a chuckle, but it's close to the heart. That's for sure.
And I guess fast forward a few years, and here you are again.
Yeah, but so that was taken my brother's house. We were leaving, getting ready to head to the airport to go to Australia, and quite special that picture there too, because we got to go to my brother's first Commonwealth game and my fourth. So I was. Looking forward to that, and looking forward to getting to share that experience with my best friend. So, how do you go wrong with that?
Awesome. Finally, talking about Heritage Greens again. I believe this was just after the singles, but what did this mean to you?
Pretty special, Daryl. To be honest with you, I thought Heritage did an amazing job at hosting the championships. I thought we showcased the club really well, and I know that it was myself up there getting that little plaque from my buddy Jeff Harding, who we won with in. I think it was 2011, but I think that plaque really. I think I wish I could have everybody from our club up there to get that, because even though I was the one that accepted it, it was really the plaque for everybody else, because they're the ones that worked extremely hard and gave up the greens, and so. So it was quite special, actually, to get that and to bring that back to Heritage, or to bring it to Heritage. I guess we were already here. But.
really special moments. I know you've had a full lifetime of bowls and doing just... I can't even count the amount of events that I've played against you. Never played with you, but I've definitely played against you. And knowing that you've just had such an illustrious career, I really wanted to be able to showcase that right from when you started as a young person right through to today and still going at it.
Thanks. Yeah. Get some good pictures here.
The real question is, Chris, do you still have it?
Oh, buddy, you know it. maybe not as good as back then. I'll still give it a good.
Yeah, that's fair how enough. It goes, I suppose. well, I guess I'll just move on to the quick little rapid fire ones here, Chris, just to wrap this up. Sure. Yeah, so they're pretty easy. Just whatever comes to your mind first, just fire away. So, like we said before, what's your favorite, Coke or Pepsi?
Pepsi.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
What's your favorite? Let's go. Let's do one. What's your favorite alcoholic beverage? Just try a different one today.
Bud Light.
Bud Light. Good choice. Right. Good choice. Who's your celebrity crush?
Celebrity crush. That's a good question. There's so many. I don't know. Pass.
Okay, and I guess we'll go just the last one here. What's your favorite Bulls memory you can recall?
Favorite Bulls memory? There's been a lot. Probably a toss up. I can't really put a difference to them. Is either getting your World Bowls medal, but at the same time competing with my brother, Commonwealth Games was pretty special.
Perfect.
I want to throw in, I'll answer that question on my side. What's my favorite Chris Stadnick memory? I remember, and this goes back a ways, I was a younger bowler at Heritage, and Chris was actually playing out of the district when we did District 4s. And our team and his team battled it out. I was inexperienced, I was young, I was just really coming up and just starting to compete, but we had a battle right up until probably the last bowl for the 1 year. And after all was said and done, the thing that stuck with me and I remember was Chris actually coming over to me and not really knowing me at that point. We had just really met. He just said, you played phenomenally. For someone that's coming up, he just complimented my game. And then he actually said, it's like, if you ever are looking to play and you want a partner or you want someone to play with, just let me know. And coming from someone like Chris at that time, who was right up there competing internationally in Canadians, it just meant the world. So that, for me, was my favorite Chris Stadnick memory.
I guess I can answer my own question, too, because I actually have a favorite Chris Stadnick memory, too. Well, I guess it's a little bit of Chris and Ryan, but Chris is here today, so it can be my Chris Stadnick moment. So it would have been, I don't even know the year, the first national team camp that I had ever went to. It was at a point in my bowling career where I was ready to walk away from the sport. Like, I was like, well, maybe I'll just play for fun. I don't really care. And then I went out to the camp and I was like, well, I'll just give it one last shot and see how it goes. So I went out to the camp and I obviously knew you, Chris, and your brother, but I don't think we'd ever really spent any time together. Maybe had a couple conversations in passing. And one day we were out there and we played a game of fours. It was like the first day of the camp. We played a game of fours and Rob Law and myself were the leads. And after it was the first time we both had ever played on an indoor. And after the was no bowls on the green. And it happened for two or three ends in a row, and it was quite embarrassing. And we did a thing after, and we got ripped apart by some of the people on the green. Didn't really matter, but anyways, we went back to the house that myself, Rob, and the Stadnick brothers were staying at, and we were both down on the dumps. And then Chris is like, come on guys, let's just go out for a drink, whatever, we'll go hang out. So we go and hang out, and then I remember Chris and Ryan were like, I was like, I'm ready to go home, like I'm just gonna book a flight and leave, this is stupid, I'm ready to go. And then Chris and Ryan just kind of sat us down. They're like, listen guys, this shit happens, it's okay, just keep on trucking. And then the next day I played the best I'd ever played in my entire life and got some opportunities out of it. So Chris and Ryan, thank you for keeping my head in the game when I needed it.
Oh yeah, remember in that house we were in, we didn't want you to leave because we were scared to be in that house alone.
That house was bad.
I think that's a good point, Luca. Nobody's out there trying to throw a bad ball, and nobody's out there trying to do anything on purpose. So I remember being, a rookie on the national team a long time ago, and, you have a bad game, and Billy Butker would just, he would always just tell us that, well, that game's done. He goes, nothing you can do there. Just, rely on your talent and you wouldn't have been in the place you were unless you were good enough. So just rely on it and shake it off.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's great advice. Great advice. Well, Luke, do you have anything else?
I have nothing else.
All right.
Well, thanks again, Chris, for coming on the show. I apologize for Daryl's crappy internet and having to have a wee breakthrough in the middle. Maybe we'll be able to have you back on at some point and have a proper interview live with all the questions from the chat.
I'm still trying to get in the After Dark one with my brother, but...
You never know. Well, thanks again, Chris. We really do appreciate you coming on tonight. Thanks for your time. And well, I look forward to seeing you whenever we can see each other again.
All right. Take care.
Yeah, take care.
Bye.
All right, Daryl. That was an interesting interview, to say the least.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm still having my glitches here and there where everything's going along, you know, tickety-boo, and all of a sudden things drop off, and I do apologize. That really frustrates both Luke and I when that happens.
Yeah, and I know I can speak for the both of us. I'm quite certain we're both relatively passionate about the show, and there's quite a bit of thought that goes into each and every episode, and it's just really unfortunate when you're prepared and everything else. And I thought that interview was going great, and I was having a good time having conversation, and it's always when it's going well when it decides to crap out. It's not when we're having a long, tough interview where one of us isn't in the zone and we got no questions to ask. It's always when it's going well, unfortunately, but it is what it is, I suppose.
Yeah, and all I can ask is for the audience and for those watching, you know, have a little pity on us. It's just the two of us doing this. We do the best we can, and things like this happen. And we don't mean it to happen, but it does, and we do try to make the best of it. So we're going to definitely make sure this this gets fully recorded. Everything gets presented in one whole episode, and everybody will actually be able to see it from start to finish.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, I guess this is speaking to the audience that's going to be listening to this later. But I think the idea is that since this didn't go as well, maybe we could do like a YouTube premiere or something, just so it's almost like we're live. Because that's our biggest part of the show, is to always have it live, just to kind of set us apart from anything else. But unfortunately, it didn't work this week. But hey, there's always next time. So that's all right.
So, Luke, I was actually going to ask you, after all this was said and done, now that we're kind of winding down, obviously you saw in the background of Chris's video, the windows are really dark. Things are getting cold here in Ontario, at least. What are you looking forward to for next year? Is there anything that you just really hope that you get to see going forward into 2021?
We're speaking strictly bulls on that question.
Yeah. We'll speak about bulls.
I'm probably going to say the thing that I was most – the same as what would have been my most anticipated thing of this year. I really, really, really want to win the Provincial Fours. That's like the only goal I have going forward at this point. And I think with the team that we have built, assuming it all works out, I think we have a really good shot. And like I just love competing. So I think that's got to be it for me. And I know we've said WOBA 8 million times, so I guess you could throw that in there too. So.
Yeah, for me, I think really it's just going to come down to seeing at least domestic competition go.
Let me rephrase my question. I know I cut you off. Let me rephrase my answer. I guess just being able to go out and compete in a tournament would be cool.
Yeah. I was looking because I'm actually in the high performance committee and I work with Bulls Canada on some of the planning aspects. Whenever we talk about 2021 and we talk about travel and international competitions, it's just a giant question mark of what's going to happen, right? We make the best plans we can, but we don't know. So taking international travel out, because that's a crapshoot as far as what's going to happen. My hope is that at least in Ontario, we get to move and every province gets to move. Hopefully we can move inter-province, at least in Canada, and get some of those, at least national events going where we at least in our own country we can compete a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's definitely a step in the right direction. I mean, it's going to be a long drawn out process and we just need those stepping stones. There's no point in like we've seen here in Ontario, things opened up and the schools went back, and you see the viral videos of the parties and everything else that's going on, whether it's here in town. I know there was some backlash from some of the students. I'm sure it's the same in Kitchener-Waterloo area with the two big schools there. So yeah, it's just like, if we kind of take what's gone on, and I guess we'll call it the real world, outside of bowls, it's just we can't force things. Like, we're seeing what's happening, like I said, here in Ontario, where we went from being on stage 3 or 4 of whatever our program was, and now we're basically right back to where we were. We're one step away from having to close back down essential businesses and restaurants and everything else. And I mean, I know for me personally, that's, I don't want that to happen. Yeah. I'm sure you don't. I'm sure our guest Chris and everyone in the chat tonight definitely doesn't want that to happen. It's not going to be fun for anybody. So I think this just really shows that we have to go slow and we have to wait, and things will work out eventually.
Yeah, and I think Chris actually mentioned this in his thing, where he said safety is number one. And he mentioned sending out an email. And because I'm part of Heritage Greens and the board, I actually got that email, and it was exactly what you said. We're moving backwards. So there's a mandate out now that public groups can be only so big, when we as a club had tried to slowly expand it to more and more. And now we're going to have to, just for the end of the season, say, no, sorry, we can only have like 25 people at a time. So it's unfortunate, but.
And people just need to look at it like anything else. It's like, if you break your leg and your doctor says, well, you're not going to walk for 2 weeks, or I have no idea how long it takes to fix a broken leg, but you're not going to walk for 2 weeks, and then you walk after week one and you have to go get surgery again. There's no reason why anyone would take that risk of having to push back everything else, or even ruin everything forever. Like, who knows what's going to happen?
Exactly. And that's an excellent point. Really, I just want to be able to get out there and compete and have meaningful competition. Like, I love going out to the club and playing at the club, and Heritage has done a great job of providing that for us. But I know not every club has that. We're one of the few unique ones that have expanded that.
Yeah, I think a big thing going forward for the whole Bulls community is, whether it's competition or not, I think just being able to see your friends. I mean, like, I have some of my best friends in the whole world that, if I'm not bowling, I'm more than likely never going to see, or just because that's part of the reason why we get together. So, like, guys like friends of the show, Rob Law, Cam, Mike, and you, and everybody else, I don't see those people very often on a regular basis. We all live so far away. So
yeah,
bowls is always that common middle ground where we get together. So,
and that's an excellent point as well. And out to our audience, that's one of the messages we need to actually put out to people, is bowls can bring people together. Bowls is a sport that everybody can play. Bowls is a safe sport in this conditions, where we can keep distance, we can still have a proper game going on with precautions, whereas in other sports you might not have that opportunity. So, you know, give it a try, give it a shot. We definitely appreciate the support for our sport and our clubs, but as far as we the people go, we need to get that message out as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, I mean, I don't want to see anybody in bowls get hurt or bowls ever have to go away just because of numbers or whatever. Like, bowls has done so many things for me in my life, like, to elevate my personal life to the next level, like, whether it be the people I've met through the sport, like you, Daryl. Like, we talk about real life shit all the time, mm-hmm. and like, you're pretty helpful in my life, and guys like Mike Petulia, who I get to stand beside in his wedding whenever we get to do that. It's wild to me how, like, I think that's why the sport means so much to me. Everyone talks about how great the sport is from things they've won and been able to do, but I think for me, it's just the changes it's made to my life and the people I've been able to meet. So I would hate if it was ever to go away completely.
Absolutely. And I think we've, the two of us, and we're just two small examples of the greater Bulls community. We've made so many friends all across the world, all across Canada, every province, multiple cities. I can't even count the amount of times I could go to a city and just pick up a phone and say, hey Joe, or hey Sally, you know, I'm in town. Either what's good, or can you take me out somewhere? And
yeah,
it's an amazing community. And Chris, our guest today, is one example of that. I met him way back when he came to Heritage a couple times and competed, and I'm still friends with him today, and I'm even better friends with him today than I was back then. Yeah. It's fantastic.
And I know it's something we've said before, and like how we always get like the whole bowls was for old people aspect. It's like, well, I have friends in the sport who are my age. I have friends who are younger, and I have friends who are older. It's like you and I met through the sport. You're a little bit older than me, and I would consider you one of my best friends in the whole world. So, yeah. Like, you don't have you just kind of like taught me as a young guy that like you don't have to be the same age as somebody to become friends with them.
No, and that's a great thing. I have, yeah, like you, I have friends that are decades, two decades, three decades older than me, and same in reverse. And I keep meeting new, young, great bowlers every year, and great, new, older bowlers every year. And the people are fantastic. The sport's fantastic. Just make sure that you, as a bowler, and I'm talking to our audience, get out there and promote it. Get out there and you know, shout it out that bowls is a great sport. Come and try it. Even just to try it for one night and roll a bowl and have a drink. That's all you need.
That's kind of what I've always said to all my friends. It's like I grew up in I'm not sure what it was like for you, Daryl, but I grew up and I've been playing bowls since I was like low, young grade school. And I always got made fun of, like me and my brother always got made fun of by everybody. And I was like, well, you come try then. Why don't you come try? And then I'd have some friends who would show up. And obviously the haters are going to hate. So it's whatever. But my friends would always joke around with me and go, oh, you're going to hang out with your grandpa in Long Bowl. I'm going to be like, why don't you just come and try it? If you don't like it, fine. I'll never ask you again.
Oh, exactly. I guess the last thing I wanted to say about this is... promotion is key. Getting out there and just talking about it is key. I talk about it until I'm blue in the face, and people hate that all I want to do is talk about long bowls, but I love it so much. And even when you know, Luke and I get together, we don't necessarily want to talk about bowls a lot, but we do.
It happens.
And we talk about it with other people around us. It just happens.
Yeah, it's so true. Like when we went out for lunch, whenever that was, a couple of months ago, we're sitting there, and I'm sure our significant others were probably like, oh my god, this is so annoying. I've heard this story 15 times.
It's true. But it's that passion that drives us forward. It's that passion that keeps us friends and keeps us playing. And really, I think it's infectious. So you just need to get people out there and give it a try.
For sure. I don't know if I have any more topics for the show today, but there is something I would like to promote. I haven't told you even, Daryl, but next week, After Dark is happening.
Yep.
It's happening. The cast is 90% confirmed, so it's looking like it's going to be... I'm not even going to say any names. I'm sure people who know me will know, but it's going to be called The Untold Roommate Stories. That's what the title of the episode is going to be called. So if that tells you anything, it's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be a really good group of people to talk to. I think it's going to go really smoothly. If I can say anything about the show, I would definitely tune in, and I would expect maybe a little bit longer than average episode. Bring a drink with you, because we're definitely all going to have one that bring out these demons and stories that we got bottled up inside that we're ready to share with the world. So I think it's going to be a great one, and I hope that everyone tunes in. So next Saturday, live on Facebook, at probably the same time as this show originally went live, at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Perfect.
That will be the Canadian Bowler After Dark, the Untold Roommate Stories edition.
It's going to be great, and I'm excited to see it. And hear you guys talk about that. I won't be on the show, everybody. I'm going to be behind the scenes, kind of pulling the strings. But these guys are gonna tear it up out there, and I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of returning guests and just people who are like, great friends. And I think it's going to be sweet. I'm actually really looking forward to it.
Perfect. And with
I guess that's it. So remember, Daryl, please hit the button. Like, subscribe, hit the notification bell, follow everywhere, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, I don't know where else. Remember, since we weren't live today and you can't watch the premiere for this one, or if we ever have internet problems again, we're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and every large podcast platform. I always forget to say that in the show, so I figured I'd throw that in. I'd just like to thank Chris one more time. Chris, you were an incredible guest, and I would love to have you on the After Dark. I know you mentioned that. I'm sure we can maybe pull some strings. I know the guy who picks the cast, so I might be able to figure that out. So thanks again, Chris. Thank you, Daryl, even though your internet sucks. thanks for being here with me. And as always, guys, until the next show, until next time, make sure all your bowls are touchers and stay safe.
Hi, everybody.